this morning. Again, we're looking at growing God's kingdom. This will be part two of last week of the mustard seed. And this morning, we'll be looking at the parable of the leaven. Last week also, before the service was over, I encouraged you to go home and read all the parables. Now, how many were they? 39. All right. I'm glad you remembered that. 39 parables that Jesus spoke relative to the kingdom of God. And Marion, when she came in this morning, she held up a pamphlet and said, I went home and I did exactly what you asked us to do. I read all 39 parables. So I said, well, thank you. That's good. And so she enjoyed reading those, little booklet of studies on the parables. So if you have something like that, or have some kind of resource to help explain, might explain a little bit different than I do, but I always try to make applications to the parables, and that's what I've been striving to do, is provide application, how this applies to us in the church. And Jesus spoke it to those who believed and followed him, that they might understand the significance of life itself, and how life, the Word of God, intertwines in with our lives and helps us to see God at work in the kingdom of God, growing the kingdom of God. So again, let's look at verse 31 first of all. That's the mustard seed. We just have one verse today to look at, and so it shouldn't take long to do that, right? One verse. it should be good, and I hope you enjoy this message. I enjoyed working on this and putting this message together this morning. So verse 31 says, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, which it does, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Okay, the verse we'll be looking at this morning and I'll be speaking about is 11. And Jesus said in verse 33, he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman. Now, you see that said a woman, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of the flowers until it was all leavened. Now, the parable of leaven, and I want to kind of explain the leaven, and many of you women who bake and cook and stuff understand leaven and the yeast and stuff of things that rise or don't rise, the leaven and so forth. But the leaven teaches the same general truth as the mustard seed. And that's why Jesus started with the mustard seed and then he went to the leaven. And it holds forth perhaps rather the inward growth of the kingdom. The inward growth, the leaven. It's the inward growth of the kingdom of God. While the mustard seed, as I've seen it and as I've studied it here, seems to point chiefly to the outward growth of the kingdom of God. So there's a parallel between the two, the inward and the outwardly, of the growth of the kingdom of God. And see, we're all part of the kingdom of God. We who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that he's our Savior and Lord. He has called us to be a part of the body of church, many members, but one body. We all make up one body because there's one Lord, one faith, one hope, one truth, and that's all in Jesus Christ. So, it being a woman's work to use that word need, K-N-E-A-D, which refers to work something, it seems significant to say that the woman here represents the church, okay? The woman represents the church, and that's the symbolic reason that Jesus used that term here as an instrument of fashioning the leaven. So, but nor does it yield much satisfaction to understand that the parable of women, the three measures of meal of the threefold divisions of what I would call, as I was looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, which is our nature into the spirit, soul, and body. If you should look at that verse, it kind of intertwined with what we're talking about here about the three measures of meal. So it ties in with our nature, this leaven, this mustard seed, which is spirit, soul, and body. Say, so you are a spirit, right? We have the Spirit of God. You have a soul, and that soul, when we leave this world, Paul says, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. So our soul, our body is laid to rest, but our spirit goes to be with the Lord. So, and you live in this body. And this body, according to Scripture, is a tabernacle, or it's a tent. And one of these days, it's just kind of laid aside, but our spirit goes on to be with the Lord. So Jesus uses these symbols to signify that this is a part of the kingdom of God. The more we study and read about the Trinity, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it ties all of this together with us about the kingdom of God. And also, there's the threefold division of the world among the three sons of Noah, and that's in Genesis chapter 10, verse 32. Now, looking at this particular parable here this morning, it yields satisfaction to see this brief parable all incisive, the quality to the gospel that is presented here in the four gospels, and by the virtue of which it will yet mold all generations, it will mold all tribes of men, and demonstrate over the whole world that one kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Savior. So now, the second part of this, which is 11, feeling insignificant. Feeling insignificant. So what do I mean by that this morning? Well, we have here the parable of the yeast, which moves into the same train of thought that we talked about last week, that it is small, and it may seem insignificant, but not really visible. So before we interpret this verse, I want to consider some properties of yeast. Now, I'm not a, what do you call, a gourmet cook or these that know everything about, and you know, Brent, he's a chef, and many of you ladies are by your own right, and so forth, and you understand. But for me to get a better understand about how the leaven and the yeast and everything was significant in that day, as it is relevant for our day, for the church, and how the Lord interact this in with the church. I went back and I looked in the Old Testament. The ancient Palestine yeast was not what comes in the tiny little packages that we buy at the grocery store, right? That's not what it is. And everything is convenient today in our modern stores, right? We can just go and get it. It's already made up and everything. But back in the ancient days, Old Testament days, it wasn't. It is said that leaven was produced from bread, flour, kneaded without salt, and kept until it passed into the state of fermentation. In the bread making, the leaven was probably a piece of dough retained from a former baking which had fermented. This was then either dissolved in water in kneading bowl before the flour was added, or was placed in the flour and kneaded along within it. So that's the definition of the yeast. Now, going back to scriptures and looking at how this interacts with our lives in the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, the yeast was fermented dough, which was placed in an unfermented dough, okay? Now, let's consider Versailles Baptist Church. So here, this is what I'm going to tie together to help us to see what Jesus is talking about, what he was saying to the disciples, and getting them to realize what their future involvement in the kingdom of God was going to be about. And it went on out to the Apostle Paul establishing churches. And the Bible says that Jesus was talking to the multitudes and say, you know, he's not a respecter of person. And that meant, you know, just not Jew, but also Gentile was included. So whoever was going to be a part of the kingdom of God and trust Jesus as their personal Savior would become a part of that. So now, let's consider Versailles Baptist Church is a hunk of leavened dough placed within an unleavened dough of the world. Now, I want you to think about that. We are leavened with Christ, okay? We are part of the body of Christ. So we are leavened with Christ, growing spiritually. And I hope each and every one of us each day are growing spiritually. How do we do that? We're in the Word. We're reading it, we're studying it, we're meditating, we're reflecting on it. We're praying and saying, Lord, teach me to help understand and interpret exactly where you're studying parables, whatever spiritual reflection that you're reading and studying in Scripture that will fall upon your heart. So we are with Christ. And but the world is plain flat, okay? The world is flat because there is no living, no what I would call breathing yeast, as the leaven has been rendered infected by sin, ineffective by sin. And everyone is dead in sin. So, what happens when the leaven is placed in unleavened bread? Well, those who work it with yeast say yeast affects the dough nearby. So, just a little part. Now, I want you to get this in mind, in your mind. You know, you have a big piece of dough, but you only have a little yeast. But the little yeast of dough can affect the remainder, the big part of the dough. Then that dough affects the dough nearest to it, and before long, a little yeast can bring about change in the whole lump. You think about that. That's how our lives as Christians do. We may be small, you may be an individual, but when you're put next to a flat world that knows does not know Jesus Christ, we can have that same effect as yeast has on an unleavened amount of dough. So, the size of the dough ball doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the size, whether it's large, medium, or small. So, going back to Versailles Baptist Church now, we as a church, we as a body of Christ, we'll consider maybe a medium-sized ball of dough, but each little bit of yeast or each individual can come into contact with other people and therefore leaven them. What do you get when that happens? It's a chain reaction, right? A chain reaction. It's like throwing a pebble in the water and it ripples, right? It's a chain reaction. So, like this small ball of dough that is hidden in a large hunk of unleavened bread, a small, medium-sized church is often hidden, or maybe even unseen, but it still makes a huge impact within the world. Just think back over the period of time when this church was established. Look how many people's lives that this church has impacted. Young people, senior adults, how that life and how those who have been impacted from the very beginning, the establishment of this church, the lives have been changed because just a little yeast and just added and mingled in with others around them has made an impact and changed the lives of others. See, we are somewhat small to medium sized, maybe unseen, and maybe we sometimes may seem not insignificant. We can be encouraged, though. We can be encouraged. Being patient and faithful to the Lord. See, God will cause our small influence to have far-reaching effects in His timing. In His timing. He will do that. Now, let's talk about one verse today, right? Well, here we go. In conclusion, hopefully, by last week's message on the mustard seed, you know, the faith of a mustard seed can remove mountains. Leavened bread can change the lives of people. It's amazing how God uses simple little things of nature. Something so small that can grow into something huge and be magnified. And that's how God works in our lives. And He does that when we make ourselves available. And as a church, not only, but as individuals, He makes a difference. So hopefully by now we can see that our size doesn't determine our true effectiveness. We have the potential to reach our entire community and even beyond. And when I say even beyond, even on the far side. Where's the far side? That's on the other side of the world. That's what I'm talking about. And who are we reaching people for? Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said in Acts 1. I like this verse because He spoke it to the disciples before He ascended into heaven. Because Jesus had spent 40 days upon the earth. He went about still doing good. He had risen. He had been glorified. His body had been glorified. He ascended to back to the Father. The Father had glorified Him. He came back to earth and He was able to go in and out of buildings without having to go through the door. So He was glorified. He had His glorified body. And He went about appearing before people so that they would understand, yes, I have risen from the grave. I am alive. Death did not contain me, and neither can it you. And with that instruction, he's hoping that the disciples and all of those witnessed him, over 500 and more, would see that there is power. There's power in God's sovereignty. And this particular verse kind of speaks it all well. It says, but you shall receive power. That's the power I'm talking about. Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the inmost parts of the world. Why did Jesus start with Jerusalem? Why did he start? That's where it all started. It started right there in Jerusalem, the birthplace of Jesus. Start right here where these people are not believing. They've seen me. They've seen my works. They've seen the miracles I provided. They've seen how I've touched people's lives, and yet they do not believe. So start here. You are my witnesses. You are my people who is going to make a great impact. That's why Jesus said, you have a greater work to accomplish. You have a greater work to do now that I'm going to go back to the Father and who sent me into this world to be the Savior of the world. And that's why Jesus spoke these words, you are my witnesses. Starting in Jerusalem, and Judea was right at the outskirts. And then Samaria, we know, were a mixture of Gentiles and Jews. And that's where they lived. So you start here in Jerusalem and Judea, right here in our own hometown, our home city. And then you move on out to the suburbs. You go on out. You don't stop proclaiming my name. Jesus said, you proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then don't stop there, men. And that's why Paul, he went on all of those missionary journeys. 135 missionary journeys. Because he took serious what he had heard from Jesus himself. And talking with the other disciples and so forth about what Jesus had said right here in Acts 1:8. Luke wrote these words. He went from Luke right on into Acts, finalizing the ministry in the kingdom of God. And we're a part of that. We're a part of that. We should be excited about that, that we are a part of the kingdom of God, and that he has empowered us, just like he did the disciples, to go teach and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, what an impact. See, reflect on these two parables this week and pray that God will use our medium-sized church to impact our community, and our witness would eventually carry over to the entire world. So this is not impossible. This is not impossible because the Lord has commissioned. He has commissioned this. And that's why he said, and lo, I am with you when? Always. Always. Even to the end of the world or the ages. Generations to generations to generations. Now, if any one of you are here today, or anyone that's listening, does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, these two parables, the mustard seed and the leaven, should change your life in such a way to see how God has made us a part of, you know, we might seem small, but he has shown us how something small can grow into something big or large. And I'm just not talking about numbers. I'm talking about spiritual things, how that we can excel in our spiritual life, how we can be witnesses, how that we can impact those around us, our community, our families, our nation, which most of all needs to be impacted by the Word of God. Even though we might think that we have the ability or the cause that we can reach our nation for God, but we can by standing out and standing strong in our faith, and it will carry on just like it would if we was talking to someone here personally or someone close to us. Now, how do we become a part of the kingdom of God? We do that by confessing and repenting of our sins. And Romans 10:9-10 says, you know, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we can be saved. For with the mouth we confess, with the heart we believe unto salvation. And then the final verse, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will what? Be saved. Simple as that, isn't it? As simple as that. Every year at camp, in our evening services, I refer to that verse right there. Whoever calls upon the name. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are, small, medium, or large, God hears that call, and He answers to it. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Guarantee. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 says that you can know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, that's the best insurance policy for eternal life that I know of, right? For you can know that you have eternal life simply because you called upon the name of the Lord. He forgives us of our sins. He sanctifies us, sets us apart, and He seals us with the Holy Spirit. That's final. And the Lord has the final word for all of us. Praise His name. Praise His name. May we pray. Father God, I'm so thankful for this message of the parables. Thank you, Lord, that's showing us how small things can become big things. And especially for the kingdom of God. And Lord, you put us right in the midst of all of that. And your Holy Spirit is here to work in our lives, to show us, to teach us, to convict us, to help us to see that you are real. And the words that you speak here in the Bible are true. And the effects of it has on our lives today as we read and study it. And Lord, bigger the effects as we read and study your word will create big volumes of those who will receive Jesus Christ, your Son. Our Father, we thank you this morning that you give us your word, that you give us your Holy Spirit, that we have you interacting with us each day through your word and through prayer. And Lord, just being face to face with us, just caring and loving us, providing for us and showing us the power that you have over all the universe, over all the world, over all governments. Nothing compares to your power. You're all power, you're all knowing. And we thank you for that, Lord. And again, all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and we shall be saved. Lord, thank you for your invitation. May we respond to it this day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand as we